The attacks of 9/11 triggered the capture, confinement, and interrogation of thousands of terrorist suspects. Little is known about where many of these people are being held. Even less is known about their treatment. Responding to concerns from human rights organizations, the Pentagon's top lawyer has said United States policy condemns and prohibits torture. But what about coercion, a less extreme way of getting people to talk? Journalist Mark Bowden explores that question in his article, The Dark Art of Interrogation, in the October issue of The Atlantic Monthly, and he joins us from our New York bureau. Welcome, Mark.
Hi, Leanne.
You do make a basic distinction between torture and coercion. How are they different?
Well, it's a distinction that clearly is critical and that not everyone agrees with, but I think if you look at the language of the international agreements against torture, they all use the adjective severe before torture. And I think that torture, as we conventionally think of it, is the kind of thing that you see compiled in the annual reports by Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch, which document countries where people are burned with branding irons and pins are stuck through their fingernails or their fingernails are pulled out. I think I would classify torture as the direct application of pain or abuse that is lasting and scarring and horrible. Coercion is the use of methods that really make life miserable for the person being questioned, but that leave no lasting scars, that do no actual physical harm to the person, and arguably no mental harm in the long run.
You give a pretty vivid sense of what you mean by coercion in your reconstruction of the likely treatment of Al-Qaeda leader Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. First, tell us about his capture in Pakistan and the events that led up to his interrogation.
Well, the official story is that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was arrested in a raid in Pakistan, in Rawalpindi, this spring. And it was a combined, I think, U.S. and Pakistani ISI investigation and raid. He was found in this house, which is right in a military neighborhood in Rawalpindi, and hauled off to the authorities. And he spent, I think, 3 days in custody there in Rawalpindi, and then was turned over to American authorities and flown to an undisclosed location where he now resides and is presumably being interrogated along the lines that I described.
This undisclosed location is a place the CIA calls Hotel California, you write
right.
In your article. What would Sheikh Mohammed's treatment be like in that facility?
Well, he would arrive hooded, bound, probably tired, cold, hungry. He'd be put in a cell with no daylight, probably filled with noise and bright lights. He would be kept from sleeping. He would be naked, probably, wet, fed irregularly and only with kind of thin, tasteless food. And basically every part of his existence would be controlled and monitored by his interrogators. He would no longer, for instance, over a period of time, know when it's day or when it's night. He would be kept from forming any kind of routine because, as it happens, human beings can adjust to really terrible circumstances provided that there's some sort of a pattern or a routine. We all seem to really crave that psychologically. And basically, he would live in fear for himself and for his family. He would be threatened with being turned over to a third world country that uses brutal methods of interrogation. And kept off balance, disoriented like this, he would probably be administered drugs that would encourage him to relax or encourage him to talk. Methamphetamines can sometimes induce a lot of chatter in a very reluctant subject, and it's very difficult to sustain a complex lie when you're under the influence of a methamphetamine. So basically, you know, he becomes a guinea pig, in a sense, and everything is designed to encourage him, to pressure him to cooperate and provide information, and that becomes the only way that he can induce any kind of normalcy or comfort into his existence.
If these coercive methods work, and you seem to endorse these methods in your article, aren't you concerned that they run counter to the spirit, if not the letter, of American law?
I think they do. And one of the things that surprised me, you know, when I researched this story, I always begin a story without a really clear fix on what I think or feel about it. In fact, for me, the process is part of the discovery of what it is I actually think about this and what it is I'm talking about. And I came to the conclusion that while use of any kind of, you know, torture methods or coercion is abhorrent to civilized people everywhere, there are instances where it is the correct moral decision. And we've all heard, or most of us have heard, of the ticking bomb scenario, which is an individual who has planted a bomb that can kill many people, and it's about to go off and refuses to reveal where it is. And under those circumstances, you have two choices. You can let the bomb go off and allow many people to be killed, or you can apply whatever pressure is necessary on the bomber to get him to reveal where he's placed it. And I think that throughout history, certainly in battlefield situations, soldiers have always found that a very simple moral question. And that is that if you're involved in a military mission and your responsibility is to protect the lives of your men and to accomplish your mission, the fate of a captive who can give you information that can spare your men an ambush and save their lives, it weighs very lightly on the scale morally, and military commanders have long employed whatever tactics they felt were necessary to get that kind of information. So I think it's dangerous moral ground. It certainly flirts with the violation of our laws and international accords, but there is a very powerful argument that can be made for employing these methods.
Mark Bowden is a national correspondent for The Atlantic Monthly and the author of Killing Pablo and Black Hawk Down. His article, The Dark Art of Interrogation, is in the October issue of the magazine. Mark, thanks a lot.
You're welcome, Leanne. My pleasure.